Hello and welcome to New Things Under the Sun. I'm Matt Clancy. This week we actually have several podcasts. I was going to write a post about using patents to measure innovation, but that project spiraled out of control, and now we have four posts about using patents to measure innovation. In this podcast, we'll talk about the first of them, how many inventions are patented. The rest will come out later this week, but you can read the whole series on newthingsunderthesun.com right now. Anyway, how many inventions are patented? So patents are ostensibly a useful data source on innovation and invention for a lot of reasons. Inventors are incentivized to seek patents because obtaining one means you have the right to exclude others from using your technology for 20 years. So you might think most important inventions are going to have associated patents. Meanwhile, inventions get screened by patent examiners when you apply for a patent, and that ensures, you know, that an invention is novel, not obvious, and valuable, characteristics required to get a patent. And so we might think that patents mostly contain information on genuine invention. Lastly, when there is a patent on an invention, we get a host of information on it. We get a description of the invention, who the inventors are, where they live, a classification of the invention into a technology category, we get information on cited references, and much more. So anyway, that's the hope for this data source anyway. And in fact, it's quite common for research papers on innovation to use patents as a data set about innovation. But in fact, many inventions aren't patented, and this is for a variety of reasons. First off, some forms of knowledge creation, such as abstract ideas, are just not patentable. Second, patent protection is imperfect. For one, it runs out after 20 years. Second, rivals might be able to sort of invent around the patent. And third, enforcement of your patent is costly and uncertain. Another factor, patenting requires you to disclose information about your invention, which essentially forces you to waive the option to protect your invention with secrecy. And lastly, patenting isn't free. It costs money. So if we're going to use patents as a way to measure innovation, and this whole week, let's just set aside the question of whether they're good for innovation, a good way to incentivize and so on. We're just going to say measurement here. So a natural question then is, how many inventions are patented? Now, it's an easy problem to state, but actually a hard problem to decisively answer for a couple reasons. First off, with a few exceptions, we don't usually have an exhaustive list of inventions that, you know, we could then take and go look to see how many of those can we match to a patent. Second, if you were to actually try and draw up such a list, you find it gets kind of challenging to cleanly divide innovation into these different discrete inventions. For example, many new products exhibit multiple technological advances. You know, is that a lot of inventions? Is that more than one? Is that one? Who knows? Third, there might not be a one-to-one match from a patent to an invention. An invention that bundles together multiple breakthroughs might be protected by many patents that seem only sort of loosely connected to the invention. And on the other hand, one patent might protect many different products that rely on different sort of aspects of a breakthrough. Still, we can probably get an approximate answer that's a useful place to start. So let's begin by assuming that firms who conduct R&D are likely to also have inventions. And then let's see how many firms that do R&D also have patents. Mezzanotte and Simcoe 2023 report on the Business R&D and Innovation Survey, which was conducted between 2008 and 2015 by the U.S. Census Bureau and the National Science Foundation. And the survey asked more than 40,000 U.S. firms from a nationally representative sample about their use of intellectual property rights. Now, only a small share of firms, roughly 6%, conduct any R&D at all. And of the ones that do, actually most do not seek patent protection. In fact, only 18% of firms that perform any R&D also seek a patent or patent protection of any kind. But that's misleading because the share of inventions is different from the share of firms that have patent protection. And that's because firms are just really unequal in their size. The economy is characterized by a small number of very large firms who do a lot of R&D and a large number of very small firms who do only a small share of total R&D. Firms that have less than 100 employees, for example, did about 9% of domestic U.S. R&D in 2015. Firms with more than 100 employees did the other 91% of R&D. And large firms, it turns out, are also more likely to seek patents. So while most firms that do R&D don't seek patents, the small share of firms that do patent also do most of the R&D. In fact, patent-holding firms account for about 90% of total U.S. R&D spending. So as noted above, we don't generally have a list of inventions that would let us compare the share or let us sort of compute how many of those inventions have got patents. We can look at R&D, but that just tells us, you know, the firm that does R&D does at least some patenting. It doesn't tell us the share of their inventions that have a patent. But as an alternative, we can ask firms to estimate that share as best they can. And this is what some papers do. Cohen, Nelson, and Walsh, 2000, describes the results of a 1994 survey administered to 1,500 R&D labs in the U.S. manufacturing sector. And in this survey, firms were asked to estimate the percent of innovations that they patented. Across all the sectors, on average, firms reported that they patented 49% of their product innovations and 31% of their process innovations. And that's actually buried in this appendix table A1. It's not a result they emphasize in the paper. Cohen et al. 2002 reports on a similar survey that was offered to large R&D firms in Japan, also manufacturing sector, and their respondents estimated that 62% of product inventions were patented. That's against about 49% in the U.S., and 42% of process inventions compared to 31% in the U.S. And again, that's in footnote 19, not emphasized in the main paper. Note, though, that there is also substantial variation in these figures. In the U.S. survey, drug manufacturers stated that they patented 96% of their products, but glass manufacturers patented 6% of their product innovations and just 2% of their process innovations. So, at least in 1994, U.S. firms themselves estimated they patented only between a third and a half of their inventions, at least in the manufacturing sector, and that figure was a bit higher in Japan. Notably, the share of inventions that the respondents estimated were patented was higher than the share for which they believed patent protection was effective, which is kind of interesting. For example, U.S. respondents claimed to patent about half their product inventions, but also in the survey they were asked, what share of your products are patents an effective way to sort of protect them? And they estimate only 35% of their product inventions. Anyway, reasonably or not, we economists tend to be a bit wary of self-reported survey data. So to get some non-survey evidence on how many inventions get patented, let's next turn to some papers that actually do draw up lists of inventions and then look to see, well, how many of those inventions have a patent. Perhaps the sector where this approach works the best is the pharmaceutical sector. That's because in this sector, inventions, you know, they kind of are like discrete one-off events. They actually are different small molecules that have been approved by the FDA. And in addition to providing a complete record of all drugs available in the U.S. that make claims of medical efficacy, the FDA also collects and publishes information on which of those drugs are currently protected by patents. And that's with the sort of intention of providing generic drug manufacturers information about, you know, the IP status of different drugs that they might want to manufacture. Durvasala et al., 2023, analyzes this FDA data and finds 68% of new drug approvals since 1985 have at least one associated patent. But this new drug approvals includes really minor drug approvals, like kind of small tweaks to existing drugs. If we or they limit their attention to new molecular entity drugs, which are those that have a novel active ingredient, well, then the share that have a patent protection rises to 85%. That is a majority of inventions, but it's also less than Cohen, Nelson, and Walsh, 2000, which found that in their survey, drug manufacturers claimed to patent 96% of their products compared to 85% in the FDA data. Moreover, the drug industry is generally understood to be sort of an unusual case where patents actually work particularly well and they're really important. So for a broader perspective, another particularly rich strand of literature uses innovation prize competitions to source lists of inventions. And each of these papers obtains a list of all inventions that either win prizes or which are in a competition for a prize, and then it sees what share of the inventions also enjoy patent protection. This literature spans a lot of countries and time periods. Moser, 2012, focuses on the 1851 Crystal Palace World's Fair in London, where countries from around the world submitted inventions for display. And Moser uses the exhaustive exhibition catalogs from this fair to generate a list of both patented and unpatented inventions. And then she identifies which of these exhibited inventions had a patent. For British inventions, that's easy because the information is just in the catalog. The people self-reported, and then the fair kind of verified. But for U.S. inventions, Moser searches U.S. patent records for patents related to the inventions listed in the catalog. So what does she find? Out of over 6,000 British exhibits, only 11% were patented. And out of over 500 U.S. exhibits, only 15% were patented. Another paper, Brunt, Lerner, and Nicholas, 2012. This one focuses on the Royal Agricultural Society of England, which held annual prize competitions related to agricultural technology for the century between 1839 and 1939. Brunt, Lerner, and Nicholas obtained data on about 15,000 inventions entered into these competitions over that century, and then they hand-matched them to UK patents. And they estimate 18% of these inventions were patented. But this share is sort of exhibits a modest upward trend over the century that they're studying. Shimizu and Hoshino, 2012. This is another paper in this vein. Each year since 1954, the Okoichi Memorial Foundation has typically handed out 10 to 15 awards to Japanese innovations with a focus on production technology. Shimizu and Hoshino compiled data on these awards from the years 1972 through 2007, including whether the invention is patented or applying for a patent. And again, this is reported by the prize winner and who's applying for the prize. In 1977, so when their data roughly begins, roughly 40% of prize-winning inventions were patented. But that steadily rises, such that from 1990 onward, basically all of the Okoichi award-winning inventions have a patent. Another paper in this vein, we have two more. Fontana et al., 2013. Since 1963, the magazine Research and Development, which used to be called Industrial Research, has run the annual R&D 100 award competition to identify the 100 most technologically significant products available for sale or licensing in the previous year. Fontana and co-authors gathered data on 2,802 award-winning inventions over the period 1977 to 2004, and then they search for patents that list the same inventors, the same organizations, roughly describe the award-winning invention, and which were granted within 3 years, either before or after the prize was awarded. And when they use this criteria, only 9.1% of award-winning inventions have an associated patent. Last one. Caponi, Martinelli, and Nuvolari, 2022, obtains data on 1,234 inventions that got the Queen's Award for Innovation between 1976 and 2015. And that award is a prestigious award organized by the UK government to recognize striking achievements in innovation. Caponi and co-authors identify the firms that are associated with those prizes or the organizations, and then they look through their patents to identify matching patents, searching for patents that are filed no more than 10 years prior to the prize. And using this criteria, they find 32% of prize-winning innovations were protected by at least one patent. So to sum up, most of these papers about prizes find that approximately 10 to 30% of inventions associated with prizes are also protected by patents. And then there's one study that finds numbers approaching 100% in recent years for Japan. Now, if we focus our attention on the papers covering the post-World War II era, which we might think is most relevant to the share of inventions patented today, we get a low of 9.1% from Fontana et al. 2013, and a high of almost 100% from Shimizu and Hoshino 2012. Brunt, Lerner, and Nicholas is kind of close because they have data over a century, and if we look to the stuff in the years leading up to 1940, which is to the end of their sample, they're finding on the order of 30% of agricultural prize winners had a patent. So with the exception of Shimizu and Hoshino, these estimates are notably less than the average share of inventions patented in those survey responses from Cohen, Nelson, and Walsh. And we'll talk a little bit about how we might reconcile that later. But before we do, let's look at one last study, which also illustrates how conceptually tricky it can be to sort of assign patents to inventions. Argente et al. 2023 uses the Nielsen Retail Management Services data to get information on how often new consumer products are patented. Their data set covers data on more than 1 million products that were sold over the years 2006 to 2015. And the products that they've got in their data set account for a large share of sales in grocery stores and drug stores. So this is kind of the type of stuff we're talking about here. And this data set lets them identify inventions as new UPC codes. For example, a new kind of maybe disposable cup, which gets assigned a new UPC code when it reaches the market. And they also have data on the product attributes of products sold, which they can use to identify larger and smaller inventions, like, you know, a new product, a new UPC code, but which also is got a new product attribute that hasn't been seen before, is going to be a bigger innovation than one without. I'm not going to actually draw on that discussion, but I just want you to let you know that it's in there. They're not just naively saying any new product, you know, a purple box instead of a red box is an invention. The important thing is they have, again, a fairly representative list of new products in this sector. And since they know the identities of the firms, they can also find all the patents associated with those new products. So rather than try to identify one-to-one matches between products and patents, you know, this patent is protecting this disposable cup, Argente and co-authors look to see if firms have patents related to the product categories where they introduce new products. So to do that, they rely on the fact that Nielsen places each product into one of more than 1,000 different product categories. Argente and co-authors build a text description of each of these categories by combining hand-selected Wikipedia articles about that product category with short descriptions of each product category that were provided by Nielsen. They then use clustering algorithms to group these more than 1,000 different categories into 400 clusters that use similar text to describe product categories. For example, disposable cups and disposable plates might be clustered together in one group. In short, they look to see if a firm has patents that use similar words in its title, abstract, etc., as the words used to describe product categories in which it is active. And when they do that, they find that 23% of new products are introduced by firms who have patents related to that product category. So to sum up, most R&D is performed by companies that have at least one patent. In the pharma sector, we can be pretty confident that most, but not all, new drugs, they also have a patent. In manufacturing, if we survey firms, they claim to protect roughly half their products with patents and a third of their process inventions. But if we look at the share of inventions that either win prizes or are entered into prize contests, we can generally find patent matches only for 10 to 30% of inventions, with one exception in one paper. This is also about the rate at which consumer good firms have patents related to product categories in which they are introducing new products. So we've got kind of three different clusters of estimates here. 90% of R&D is performed by patent holders. 30 to 60% of inventions are patented according to survey-based evidence. And roughly 10 to 30% of inventions can be matched with patents. So why the divergence? Now, it's not hard to reconcile the very high share of R&D that's associated with patents with the other measures. It just implies firms patent some, but not all of the work that they perform R&D on. It's a bit harder to reconcile the survey and the matching-based evidence, though, but there are actually, I think, a few different factors going on. So one issue is down to just who's in the sample. The prize-based papers include innovations that come from outside the private sector who are less likely to patent. You know, they literally include people from government, for example. The survey-based papers, meanwhile, are primarily based on relatively large manufacturing firms, and large firms are also more likely to patent. And as we've also seen, there's a lot of variation in the propensity to patent by sector, and so the sectors covered by prizes and these survey things may differ as well. And lastly, it could be the case that people who submit their inventions to a prize contest are people who are less likely to seek patent protection because perhaps they're trying to, get notoriety and sort of claim rights to their invention and recognition through some other means, you know, a prize rather than a patent. Another factor is that surveys can pick up patents that would seem to be unrelated to an invention if you're only sort of reading the patent and trying to match it manually, but which an expert who's skilled in the field would perhaps be able to recognize as actually relevant. And indeed, we do find higher patenting rates when we let inventors self-report the share of inventions that they patent. and presumably they have a better sense of these kind of not obviously related patents. So Brunt, Lerner, and Nicholas note that 28% of prize-winning inventions at agricultural technology competitions, 28% report patent protection in the prize announcements, but when they look, they can only find patents for about 22% of winners. Shimizu and Hoshino, who also rely on self-reporting of patent protection, were the ones who found that nearly all Okoichi Prize winners enjoyed some kind of patent protection. And in contrast, Fontana et al. 2013 were only able to match inventions to patents for about 25% of R&D winners from Asia. Now, they don't actually break things down like from Japan, and we don't know if R&D 100 winners are different from Okoichi Prize winners, but 25% and 100% are quite different. And notably, like, even as late as 2004, Japan spent more on R&D than South Korea, China, and Taiwan combined, so it probably accounted for a large share of Asian R&D 100 prize winners. Anyway, notably also, the survey results from Cohen, Nelson, and Walsh are on average higher than the levels implied by sort of matching patents to prizes, and they're even higher actually than the FDA data on drugs protected by patents. Argente et al. 2023 also have some evidence on this whole question. Now recall, their method involved classifying patents into different related product categories based on the similarity of patent text to text associated with different product categories. To validate their approach, they take advantage of the fact that since the year 2011, firms have been able to sort of list patents that protect their product lines on a website. Now, few firms currently make use of this right, but Argente and co-authors can at least look at the patents that Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark report to be protecting their various product lines. And this provides some information on what the product categories the patent holders believe their patents are related to. And Argente and co-authors find that their text-based algorithm picks the right product category, where here right is defined as the one that the patent holder reports to be the relevant product category, as its first or second choice about 80% of the time. But there is a significant fraction of cases, probably more than 10% of the time, that the text-based approach is not very close. It does not identify the product category that the patent holder says is related as being related via text. So all told, I think this difficulty in matching a patent to an invention is one reason to think of this patent matching literature, you know, which finds the lower bound estimates on the order of 10 to 30% of inventions are protected by patents. I think of that as kind of a lower bound estimate. It appears to me easier to miss a related patent than it is to sort of incorrectly match a patent to an invention because they have similar text and the same inventors and so on. So we can then ask, how many inventions are patented? Coming to the conclusion. And I'm going to punt a little bit and say probably more than zero, but less than half. But the point is, that's enough for us to be confident the patent register is not like a census of invention. Instead, it is a sample. But the good news is that with hundreds of thousands of new patents every year, it's a sample that's plenty big enough for us to do statistical analyses and learn interesting things. The bad news is that it's a sample, and it's not just a random sample, it's a biased sample. Some kinds of invention are much more likely to show up in the patent record than others. And so much of the challenge of doing good analysis with patent data is understanding and correcting for these biases. Thanks for listening. And now it's time for the standard end of the episode boilerplate. You've been listening to a podcast from New Things Under the Sun, a living literature review with the mission of communicating what academia knows about innovation in accessible but rigorous research syntheses. New Things Under the Sun is a living literature review, which means I go back and update these research syntheses as new research is published or I discover it. The podcast you listen to is taken from the first published version of one of these syntheses. To see if there's been any updates about the claims made in this podcast, or to learn more about this project, head to newthingsunderthesun.com.